Well, this morning we are continuing the series on fully dressed, and we are looking at the armor of God that the Apostle Paul describes to us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. My brief this morning is to speak about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. It's interesting, isn't it, that we are left in absolutely no doubt as to what Paul is referring to when he talks about take the sword of the Spirit. Because Paul definitely tells us what he is referring to. He said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. This word. This powerful word. This living and active word. Paul says, take hold of it. Take hold of it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, the word of God is alive, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, for those who don't know what a two-edged sword is, it's a sword that cuts on either side of the blade. Either side of the blade is sharp. And that was the sword that the Roman soldier used, this two-edged sword. It's called in the Latin gladius. Gladius, the sword. It was a very important weapon to a Roman soldier. It was light and it was short. It was about 50 centimeters long. For those like the old school, it was about 20 inches long. I'm still in the old school. I'm still in feet and inches. Anybody still in pounds, shillings and pence? Oh, a few, yeah. Well, it was about 20 inches long. And soldiers could use it for stabbing quickly. They would advance, and remember, they would advance with the shields, and it was no good having a massive sword that, you know, you couldn't swing a massive sword around your head. And so they used this sword to protrude through the, in between the shields as they went. It had a sharp point on the edge, and it did some considerable damage. Along with the sword, the Roman soldier carried a dagger. The dagger was on the left side, while the sword was on the right side. The dagger is called a pugio. I don't know if that's the right word, how they pronounce it, but it was small, worn on the left side, whilst on the right side there was this gladius, this sword, which enabled it to be drawn underneath with the right hand and pulled out very swiftly. Two spears made up the other weapons of the Roman soldier. They were called a pilum. They were throwing spears. And the Roman soldiers carried these two spears to throw at the enemy. The spears were about 2 meters long. They were designed to bend and to stick in the enemy's shield so that the enemy's shield could no longer be operated with these spears stuck in it. It would become useless. And the enemy wouldn't be able to protect themselves anymore. So as they advanced into battle, it was the spears that went first, followed by the advancing Roman army with their swords protruding through the shields. These spears were difficult to pull out. They would bend on impact so that the enemy couldn't throw them back at the Roman soldiers who were advancing towards them. So really, friends, the Roman soldier was a mean fighting machine. No wonder they conquered the world. But the principal weapon of a legionary, was the gladius, the sword. And Paul here, writing to the church at Ephesus, says to the Christians there, take hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I've mentioned the dagger and I've mentioned the spears because there were other weapons that a Roman soldier carried with him. In fact, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Notice the plurality. There are more than one weapon, but the weapon that I'm talking about this morning is the principal weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the most important weapon. Friends, can I say this morning, we are at war. Whether you sit there this morning and believe it or not, we are at war. Isaiah tells us that there will come a day when swords will be beaten into plowshares. There will come a day in the millennium reign of Christ when war will be no more. Physical war. But can I say, every one of us here this morning, although our nation is not at war, can I say we are all at war if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? We are all involved in a spiritual battle. This warfare, Paul says, that we are engaged in is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly regions. And it's for this reason, because we are involved in a spiritual war, that we are to take up the whole armor of God. You see, friends, if we don't take up the whole armor of God, the Bible says we will not be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So it's imperative that we do take up the armor of God, the whole armor. Because if we don't, we are not going to win this battle that we're engaged in. That's basically what Paul is saying. We will not be able to stand against the schemes of Satan. That is why this current series is so vitally important to every one of us, friends. Because let me say this morning, God wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be a conqueror. He wants us to gain victories. So this series that we're dealing with at the moment is vitally important to every one of us here this morning. Can I say what is more important than the series that we're doing? It's not just being hearers of the word. It's applying the word to our lives. Because if all we do is listen to what God is saying to us here on a Sunday morning and we don't apply it to our individual lives Monday through to the following Sunday, friends, it's going to mean absolutely nothing at all. And if it means nothing at all, let me tell you, you are going to live a defeated life. You are not going to be the person that God saved you to become if we don't apply what we're hearing. We are living in a day when it's imperative that we learn warfare. In fact, the Bible says we are to war a good warfare. God has chosen us to become soldiers, good soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, whether you realize it or not, you are a soldier. You are a warrior. You are being called and chosen by God because He wants you to be a good soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I really believe that we need a warrior mentality. Can I say that again? Church, we need a warrior mentality. And I'm very conscious this morning that maybe some of us here this morning haven't got a warrior mentality. But God wants us to have one. And to have one, we need to change our thinking. Friends, some of us are thinking like farmers and not soldiers. In the Second World War, there used to be a song that they used to sing. Perhaps some here will remember it. The really old ones amongst us. You're in the army now. Who said yes? Nan, you can remember it. You're in the army now. You're not behind the plow. You're in the army now. You see, friends, we are in the army now. Everybody between 1939 and 1945 in our nation, there was an awareness that we were at war. Not just in a song, but from the little children up to every single man and woman in our country, everybody was aware that we were a nation at war. There was a realization. Sadly, that realization is not in the church. That realization that we're at war, we can be comfortable no longer. We can be at ease no longer. In fact, I really believe God is stirring us out of slumber and sleep. God is calling us from the back. He's calling us to the front line. Because there is a job to be done. We are engaged in an epic battle. And friends, God wants us to win it. Make no mistake about it. That's why he has put weapons at our disposal. Because he wants us to win in this warfare that we're engaged in. And God has put these weapons at our disposal, and it's up to us to use them. In fact, God expects us to use them. And the chief weapon that we are looking at this morning is this. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Plows, pruning hooks, they are excellent implements for farming. But a soldier in combat needs a sword, needs a spear, needs a deadly weapon. You know, in the days when Israel was beset by the Philistines, they experienced an arms crisis. We read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 13. It says this, verse 19, there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. Notice the Philistines were the dominating force. And they took away from the whole of the land of Israel the means so that Israel couldn't make weapons. The Bible goes on to tell us that their farming instruments, they allowed their farming instruments to be sharpened. But the swords and spears and the weapons that could do maximum damage to an enemy, all the blacksmiths couldn't be found in the land because they'd taken them away. So listen to this. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither a sword nor a spear found in any of the armies who were with Saul and Jonathan. An army going to battle without any weapons. Only in the hand of Saul and Jonathan was a sword to be found. The Philistines allowed the children of Israel farming instruments, but no swords or spears. Can I say this morning, we have an enemy who will do all that he can to keep the sword out of your hand and my hand. He will do everything in his power, friends, to keep the sword out of the hands of the people of God. That's why the Bible says we are to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemings of the devil. The devil is a schemer. Paul says we are not ignorant of his devices or the way that he schemes. And let me tell you this morning, friends, he will seek all in his power to take the chief weapon out of your hand. He will do all that he can to stop you from being a warrior that God has called you to be. Satan, he'll allow us to plow along, drudgingly, in some religious field. He'll not be bothered if we get interested in this social activity or that social activity, or if we have this political point or that political view. He'll not be bothered. He'll allow us just to get on, as long as we don't talk war. The blacksmiths, the craftsmen, they were among the first people a conquering army would take away from the land. Not just in Israel, but this was a modern thing in warfare in those days. The blacksmiths, the craftsmen, they would be taken away from any land that had been conquered by an invading army. Swords and spears will do serious damage to an enemy in any battle. Can I say, church, the enemy is out to steal our weapons. We are the army of God. Remember that song we used to sing? God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance is their song, with healing in their hand. Can't remember anymore. Yeah. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are we using the weapons that God has given to us? The Bible says they are mighty. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. Have we this morning taken the sword of the Spirit to use in this warfare? Or are we like the Israelites, an army without weapons? That can't be true. The army of God has weapons. So it can't be true that we are an army without weapons. The real question is, are we using? We have a choice. Are we using the weapons that God has given us? Have we taken hold of the sword of the Spirit? Are we using the sword of the Spirit in this spiritual battle that we're engaged in? Jesus showed the effect of using the sword of the Spirit. He too was in an epic battle. Friends, his battle, like our battle, it wasn't against the religious leaders of the day. It wasn't against the Romans, the scribes or the Pharisees, or the Sanhedrin. His battle was the same battle that we're engaged in. It was against principalities and powers. And in the wilderness, he engaged Satan himself. There is every likelihood that none of us here will engage Satan himself. We are dealing with the hosts of wickedness, the demonic powers, the demons, the rulers of this present evil age. But Jesus was involved with Satan himself, the prince of the air. Lucifer, son of the morning. He was engaged in the wilderness when Satan came to him after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It was then that Satan came to him. Let me tell you, friends, Satan will come to you when you're at your weakest. When Jesus was at his weakest, physically, Satan came to him with temptation. If you are the Son of God. Three times Satan came with accusations. Three times Christ was tempted. And on every occasion, Jesus answered Satan with the word of God. He took the sword of the Spirit and he began to use it. The weapons of his warfare were not carnal, but mighty in God. It is written. And he quoted what was written. He told the devil what the Bible had to say. It is written. This word is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. How do you resist the devil? How do you resist the devil? I resist you, Satan. It'll mean nothing at all. How do you resist the devil? There is only one way, friends, and that is with the word of God. It is written. Hallelujah. Bonnke said the word of God in our mouth is as powerful as the word of God that was in Jesus' mouth. Hallelujah. The word of God is alive. It is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. God wants us to be victorious. And in the book of Revelations, it talks about the victorious believer. Revelations 12 and verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, Satan, the powers of darkness, these principalities. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. What does it mean they overcame him by the word of their testimony? What does it mean? Friends, this is the word of our testimony. It's when we speak and confess what God has said. That is the word of our testimony. If we are wanting to overcome, friends, we have got to understand that unless the word of God is in us, and unless the word of God is pouring out of us when the battles are raging, let me tell you, we will be defeated. We will not be overcomers. Faith, the Bible says, it comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? You see, when you hear the word of God, faith springs up. Here's a problem that most of us have. We don't speak the word of God out. We think the word of God. Friends, did you know that Satan and all his hosts don't know what you're thinking? Haven't got a clue. Don't give Satan more credit than he deserves. We serve a God who is omniscient. He knows all things. He's all powerful. Satan is not omniscient. Yet he watches our lives. The demons watches how we operate. They know the weak areas because they observe things. And by observing our lives, they come to some conclusions. But they don't know what we're thinking. Jesus said, it is written. He said it. He spoke it out. Friends, God wants the word of our testimony. He wants us to speak and confess what God says. To speak the word of God out. He said, say to this mountain, say to this obstacle, say to this opposition, say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the midst of the sea. We've got to say it. We've got to speak it. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And this word is life. It's powerful. And friends, we've got to speak it. Hallelujah. The problem is we don't. We think it. And we never speak it boldly. You see, when you speak it, you begin to hear it. When you speak things, you begin to hear them. And when you speak this word, something begins to happen. Faith begins to come. Hallelujah. Faith begins to rise up as we speak the word of God. We, every one of us here, friends, are facing battles. I've got no doubt about that. And you know where most of the battles take place? In us. The battles are taking place, as we heard right at the commencement of this series, in the mind. The mind is the battleground. Friend, if you win the battle there, you've won it everywhere else. Because this, as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. You win the battle in the mind. You have the mind of Christ in you. Then you will become what God says you will become. But the enemy, friends, will fight us tooth and nail. I'm aware of the weak areas in my life. You may be not, but I am. And I'm not aware of the weak areas or the vulnerable areas in your life, but you are. You know where the battle hots up. And you know the temptations and the testings that come. And you know, friends, that time and time again, it'll come round in a full circle. And you'll find yourself in that same arena again, with the same problems again, rising their heads. It's in those weak and vulnerable areas that we will be attacked. Because the demons have observed how we've gone on the first time. And if there's been any chinks, if there's been any weakness, that's why we all face battles, different battles. But we don't just face them once. We'll find them rearing their heads again. Whether it's a week or a month or a year or 2 years or 10 years, doesn't matter. I don't think the battle, in fact, no warfare is 24/7. In ordinary warfare, there's sometimes a lull in the fighting, isn't there? In the trenches in the First World War, there was a lull in the fighting. And in the Second World War, it wasn't raging all the time. The Bible says, just like it was with Jesus, it'll be with us. He was in all points tempted and tested like we are. It's interesting, isn't it, that after that temptation in the wilderness, the Bible says the devil left him for a season. But we know he came back to him again. After this business, there was Gethsemane. If you, you know, let this cup pass from me. What a struggle. I found in my life that the battles that I face are not 24/7, but I sometimes find the intensity of the battle, we're engaged in it, and then there'll be a lull after it. And whilst the battle's raging, we're going to either win it or we're going to lose it. But there will be some respite after it. But the problems and the vulnerable areas that you've got in your life, friends, let me tell you, it's there you're going to be attacked again and again and again. That's why when the attack comes and the attack gets concentrated, we've got to meet it with the Word of God. The Bible says we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. God wants us to be ready. Not only when the attack comes, but listen to this, church. Because when we take the armor of God on, the whole armor, sometimes we can think of it just being defensive. And most of us are in defensive mode. But I really believe God wants us to be ready, not only on the defensive, not only are we ready when Satan attacks us, but I really believe, friends, that God wants us to be on the offensive so that we take the attack to the enemy. Because most of us are waiting for the attack to come. David, when he became king in Israel, every nation was subdued around him. The Philistines, all the other nations, they were subdued. God gave him rest from the war that he was engaged in. Why? Because he didn't wait for the enemy to attack him. He rose with his men and he attacked the enemy. And friends, I really believe we need to get a change of mindset that God wants us to be on the offensive, not just on the defensive. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I used to think of the gates of hell standing there, you know, holding back the church. Hell and the powers of darkness, much stronger. Jesus said, I will build it. It's like the church has the battering ram. And instead of waiting for the enemy to come to us, the church is going to the enemy. And when we go, the very gates of hell that stand and defy, Jesus said, they will not stand or prevail against the onslaught of the church of the living God. The church that he's building. Hallelujah. I will build my church. Glory to God. I really believe that we've got to get trained for the battle. We need a paradigm shift in our thinking. And we need to begin to not think just defensively or when I'm attacked. You are going to be attacked. But when I attack, that's what spiritual warfare is. It's being on the offensive. It's taking the attack to the enemy. No soldier would be ever sent out into battle, given a sword, and sent out into the battle. Not without any training as to how to use the sword. In fact, the Roman soldier was trained to use the gladius, the sword. When they trained, they didn't use the sharp, steel, two-edged sword, 20 inches long. They used a bigger, heavier, wooden sword. It was made of wood. And they would do combat together with these wooden swords, which were much heavier than the sword that they would be given with their tunic and their armor. The shields that they took into battle, on their left hand they had the shield. The shields weren't the shields that they trained with, that they took into battle. Like the sword, They were much heavier. What was that doing? Building muscle up. It was making them swifter, so that when they got into battle, it's like some of us go cycle riding. And if you go into the gym and you get on an exercise bike, you put the resistance, yeah. So it becomes hard for you to pedal. I want to tell you, when you get on your bike, after that, it's like a piece of cake. The pedals go around so much easier. And so there was training that was given to the soldier. They used these weapons of wood, even the targets that they used. Their main target was the people that they were advancing against. But in training, they used a thin pole, sometimes made out of wood, that they would train with these heavy swords to strike, to thrust. And they became precise with pinpoint accuracy as they began to use and thrust these wooden swords at this thin pole. Of course, when they got into the battle, the target was much bigger. There's a lesson here. They were trained for warfare. They were trained for battle. And when the battle came, they were ready. That's why, friends, don't think that what Luke is doing is meaningless, getting us to read the Word of God every day. I want to tell you, you need to read the Word of God every day. You absolutely do. I take no apologies to say that. If you are not reading the Word of God, friends, every day as a Christian, you are on a hiding for nothing. You will never become the person that God wants you to be. And even if you're not going through this, what Luke's got, you know, every day, we shared in the life group on Thursday night that some folks are doing some other stuff because that's the way they've always done it, you know. That read the word and find it beneficial to do it. That's okay. The main thing is that we get into the Word of God. And this Word gets into us. We read the Word, we study the Word, we meditate on the Word, we memorize the Word of God. So when the battle's engaged, we can declare, it is written. Let me tell you, friends, if it's not in, it won't come out. It's out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And if the Word of God is not hidden in your heart, if you are not taking on in the Word of God, you will never be able to speak out the Word of God. Jesus knew what to say to Satan. Why? Because he was trained. He'd studied. As a young boy, he'd been brought up in the favor of God and man. And he'd studied in the rabbinical schools, in the synagogues. He'd studied the Word of God. He was God in the flesh, but he was a man as well. And he had to learn, the Bible says, he had to learn obedience. And he learned the Scriptures. So when the attack came, the Scriptures came out of him. Let me say something very practical. You and I are aware of the areas of vulnerability, the areas of weakness in our lives. And you don't need to tell anybody else them, because you know them and God knows them. The Bible says a city without walls is vulnerable. And that's where the attack will come. And those areas of vulnerability, it is those areas that we need to build up. Build ourselves up in those areas. Get God's word into you relative to those areas of vulnerability and weakness. Find out what God says. And then begin to speak it and confess it over your life. Even if you use the scripture, when I am weak, I will become strong. My weakness will be turned into His strength. And begin to use the Word of God. Begin to confess it. This is the word of your testimony. And speak life. Speak life. When you speak the Word of God, friends, you're speaking life. The Bible says we are snared. We are snared by the words of our mouth. Oft times the words of our mouth, they ensnare us, friends, because a lot of us, you know what we speak? We speak what we're thinking. We speak what we're feeling. We speak all the negative stuff. I'll tell you, when you speak God's word, it's powerful. It's the living word of God. You see, when you begin to speak this word, this written word, it becomes a living word. The Bible says our minds are transformed, renewed by the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Hide the word of God in your heart so that you do not sin against Him. Hide God's word so that you begin to act like God acts. You begin to speak like God speaks. You begin to think like God thinks. How many of us here this morning are trying to fight this spiritual battle without the sword, without the word of God? There will be no advance, no victory without it. I think the word of that God gave to Joshua is relative to us today. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He gave him this just before they went into Canaan. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God was said to Joshua, Joshua, there's some walled cities. There's some giants in this land. There's some battles that you've got to face. But the victory will be given to you through the word. Yeah. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves shall not wither, who will bring forth its fruit in its season, and whatever he does shall prosper. Do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to have good success? It'll never happen without the word. God wants us to have victory. And that's why he's given us weapons that are mighty. Can I say, friends, they're only mighty when they're used. That's why Paul says, take the sword of the Spirit. Take it. You've got a choice. You can take it or you can leave it. But if you leave it, you are not going to stand against the schemes of the devil. I finish with this. Eliezer was one of David's mighty men. We read about them in 2 Samuel 23. And the exploits that they did, the mighty men of David. You know, David became great, but he became great because he had some mighty men around him. David got all the plaudits, but it was the mighty men who brought him to where he was. And one was called Eliezer. And the Bible says there was a day when Israel had fled from the Philistines. They'd gone from the field of battle. They'd retreated, that's the word that the Bible uses. And it says about this man, Eliezer, he arose. He attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand was stuck to the sword, and the Lord brought about a great victory that day. Eliezer, his hand was welded to his sword, couldn't be prized away from his sword. Friends, he and the sword had become one. May God help the word of God and us to become one. So that we are the word. We live it. We speak it. We act it. The living word of God. Brothers and sisters, let us never ever go without the sword. Let us use this mighty weapon that God has given us to defeat the principalities and powers that are arrayed against each and every one of us here this morning. And the Lord will bring about a great victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth. What a privilege we have to have this word. It's mighty, it is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. We wage war with this word. We defend what God has given us with this word. Because there is a thief who comes to rob, to steal, to kill, and destroy. There is a thief, friends, who wants to rob your peace. And when he comes to rob your peace, he needs to be met with the word of God. Great peace of they which love your law, and nothing shall by any means offend them. My peace I give to you, Jesus said, not as the world. Do not let your heart be troubled. And when the devil comes to trouble you and bring all anxiety against you, friends, use the weapon of the word of God. When he comes to rob you of your health and your health's taking a battering, begin to speak the word of God, that he is our healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Despite of the symptoms, despite of what's going on, use the living word of God. And friends, let me tell you, your health will spring forth speedily. I really believe that. I really believe it. When the devil comes to rob you of your self-worth, saying you're a nobody and you're a nothing, begin to confess who Jesus says you are. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. Hallelujah. You are not a nobody. You are not insignificant. God has called us and chosen us to be a soldier. We're in the army now. We're not behind the plow. He's given us weapons that are mighty. And Paul's exhortation to us this morning is this: take hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Will you take it this morning? You've got a choice. Will you begin to use it? Will you begin to live it, meditate in it, memorize it? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's powerful. It's alive. Like Eliezer, become one with the sword. One with the word. And when testings and temptations come, as come they will, let God's word answer the door. When they knock at your life again, let Jesus open the door with his word. It is written. Hallelujah. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Satan's a bully. He intimidates. The hosts of darkness intimidate. And you know, we're all in this boat together. We've all been intimidated. Every one of us. This fella, he could put two hands up. All been intimidated. He's a bully. There's only one way to deal with a bully. Stand up against him. That's why the Bible says we are to stand. Stand therefore, having put on all this armor. Stand therefore. Don't lose ground, like we heard last week from Alan. Get the shoes of the gospel with the pricks on the bottom so that you can stand on the truth of the word of God. Stand. Shammah was another one of David's mighty men. And the Bible says there was another day when Israel was fleeing from the Philistines. But Shammah, he stood in the midst of a field of lentils, right in the middle of it. And he said, come on. And he defeated the Philistines right, left, and said, one man using the sword. One man who was prepared to say, you're not going to take ground anymore. He defended, the Bible says, a field of beans. Hallelujah. He defended it. We've got more than a field of beans at stake. We've got loved ones at stake. We've got our health at stake. We've got a midst of other things at stake, friends, for the kingdom. May God help us to stand and use what God's given us. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you will help us all to take hold of this mighty weapon, this sword that you have given to us. I pray that, Lord, you'll help us to wage a good warfare. It would be good today, Lord, if I could say I've won every battle. But I know that I haven't. And I know that my brothers and sisters haven't. But I do know what your word says, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And even though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Thank you, Lord, even the battles that we've lost, you've still kept us. And we're here this morning, hallelujah. We are here this morning to fight another day. And we would declare, do not gloat over me, my enemy. For though I have fallen, I will rise again. Let us rise this morning, Lord, as men and women of God, men and women of war, men and women who will use the weapons that the Lord has given to us and cause victories to happen, Lord, right, left, and center, because we are moving in the power of the Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. Notice, friends, it is the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We utterly relying on the Holy Ghost to help us to win this war. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.